Remember playing outside until the streetlights came on? Today's children won't. The average American child spends just minutes outdoors daily while devoting over 7 hours to screens. This isn't just nostalgia talking, it's a public health emergency. With childhood obesity rates at 18%, ADHD diagnoses climbing to 11%, and millions taking medication to focus, we're witnessing what experts call nature deficit disorder. This extinction of experience isn't merely harming our children, it threatens our planet's future. How can we expect the next generation to protect what they've never learned to love? The disconnect stems from multiple sources: technology's constant pull, parental fears about safety, litigation concerns, overscheduled activities, and rapid urbanization swallowing natural spaces. But within this crisis lies opportunity, the chance to reconnect our children with the natural world that shaped human development for millennia. We have a paradoxical relationship with nature, seeking it out for recreation while simultaneously destroying it for resources. This contradiction stems from forgetting that we are nature. Yet our bodies remember what our minds have forgotten. Hospital patients with windows overlooking trees recover faster and need less pain medication. Japanese forest bathers experience measurable drops in stress hormones and blood pressure after time among trees. Even minimal nature exposure, a few trees in urban settings, reduces aggression and crime rates in neighborhoods. Our brains evolved in natural settings, and they still function best there. Effective nature mentors balance three roles: teacher, conveying information; questioner, probing curiosity; and trickster, stretching boundaries. The most impactful mentoring happens when we minimize teaching and emphasize questioning and playful boundary pushing. When a child asks about a bird, rather than immediately naming it, redirect with, "What do you notice about it?" This approach fosters deeper learning than simple identification. Regular nature time forms the foundation of connection, mostly play for younger children, more structured activities for older ones. The second core routine is encouraging children to share stories about their outdoor experiences. Ask, "What happened out there today?" Then draw out details with thoughtful questions. The best nature mentors remain nearly invisible while facilitating connection, leveraging children's natural inclinations, free play for young children, competency building for middle years, and boundary testing with peers for teens. Children with regular outdoor experiences show improved motor control, imagination, language skills, reasoning, and problem-solving abilities, not luxuries, but developmental necessities. Our innate capacity to connect with nature awaits reawakening through simple habits, getting children outdoors daily, even briefly, and creating regular experiences in wild or semi-wild spaces near home. Young children possess extraordinary capacities for wonder and discovery that often surpass adults' abilities. While adults have developed spotlight consciousness, narrowly directed attention focused on specific tasks, children exhibit lantern consciousness, a broad awareness that illuminates everything simultaneously. This allows them to notice details adults completely overlook. Despite their seemingly scattered attention, children think with remarkable scientific precision, engaging in sophisticated learning through play, their natural mode of research. Einstein wasn't being poetic when he called play the highest form of research. The most effective toys for supporting this natural scientific inquiry aren't expensive electronic gadgets, but loose parts with no predetermined purposes: sticks, boxes, string, dirt. Nature provides an endless supply of such materials, creating an unmatched exploratory environment. Many parents worry about children getting dirty during outdoor play, but mounting scientific evidence indicates that exposure to soil microbes actually strengthens children's immune systems. The hygiene hypothesis suggests that children raised in over-sanitized environments develop higher rates of allergies, asthma, and autoimmune conditions. The most effective approach? Get them outside, step back, and let them play freely. Ages 6 to 11 represent the age of competence, when children develop dramatic new abilities and a need to demonstrate them, perfect conditions for deepening nature bonds. When recalling meaningful childhood places, people typically choose outdoor settings from this period: a creek, a climbing tree, a secret hideout. These memories involve independent exploration. Today's children live under effective house arrest, overscheduled, overprotected, and overscreened. Studies show children's independent mobility radius has shrunk by over 90% in four generations, from 6 miles in 1970 to barely 300 yards today. To balance safety with children's need for outdoor autonomy, practice hummingbird parenting, staying distant to allow exploration while zooming in only when genuinely necessary. Family nature clubs offer another solution, with multiple families gathering outdoors regularly, allowing children to play while adults socialize. These clubs create safety in numbers, build community connections, and provide regular opportunities for nature play that develop both independence and environmental awareness. Teenagers' brains create a developmental paradox. Puberty drives intense social reward seeking, while impulse control systems remain underdeveloped. Their apparent disinterest in nature stems from their focus on peer interactions. The solution is creating outdoor opportunities where teens can take calculated risks with peers while demonstrating skills. Service projects, from designing school gardens to stream restoration, provide powerful nature connection experiences that satisfy both their social needs and desire to contribute meaningfully. Wilderness immersion programs offer transformative experiences with lasting impacts. Research on programs like Outward Bound shows significant improvements in self-confidence, problem-solving abilities, interpersonal skills, and nature appreciation. These programs succeed by combining challenging physical activities, peer bonding, leadership opportunities, and natural consequences in ways that align with adolescent development. Many participants identify these wilderness experiences as pivotal moments that fostered resilience, emotional regulation, and environmental stewardship. Our cultural obsession with apocalyptic scenarios reflects environmental fears, yet we need positive visions rather than doom. While sustainability lacks inspiration, thrivability offers a compelling goal. This challenge is primarily local, requiring engagement with our immediate surroundings. Doug Tallamy's solution involves reintroducing native plants to our built environments. With 80% of urban plants being non-native, local ecosystems suffer as native insects can't feed on alien plants, disrupting the food web. By wildscaping with native plants, we can attract indigenous insects and birds, creating robust local ecosystems. Cities, where most humans now live, are ideal focal points for addressing thrivability. Traditionally viewed as places that banish nature, cities are being reimagined through biophilic design, which prioritizes nature in planning. The rewilding revolution depends on nature mentors who provide both access to nature and meaningful engagement with it. We face two possible futures: children growing increasingly disconnected from the natural world, or deliberately cultivated wild children who feel at home in nature. Every child deserves to splash in puddles, climb trees, watch clouds, and feel earth between their fingers, experiences foundational to healthy development and essential for raising environmental stewards. Nature connection is ultimately about cultivating love rather than knowledge. As Antoine de Saint-Exupéry wrote, our goal isn't to assign tasks, but to teach children to long for the endless immensity of the sea. The wild child lives within each of us, waiting to be awakened. Will you answer that call?